Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the preview spotlight for the August 2012 previews. These items should start shipping to stores around October 2012. As we always do, we're going to go from the front of previews to the back of previews, putting in the Marvel previews where it would fit in the huge catalog that gives us about 500 and some odd pages to go through. Obviously, we're not going to go page by page, item by item, or even publisher by publisher. We're going to go hit the highlights as we see it and as our listeners see them. And as always, we really do these shows based on clips. Bob and I do a handful, and our listeners chime in with what they've got. We have an open submission policy. We strongly encourage our listeners to send in clips each and every month. There are a lot of times that I'll have missed something in previews just because I was in a rush going through the order form, or I just didn't notice it because it's like 500-plus pages to go through every month. So when listeners point stuff out, it helps me. I certainly appreciate it, and I think it helps our other listeners find stuff they'd be interested in. So we've got instructions on the forum as to how to put together an audio clip. It's very easy to do. All you need is something to record with. Save it as an MP3 file and email it to theguys@comicbookpage.com. And really, just say, hey, you know, on page whatever, or if you do it before previews or don't have previews, you can just say, hey, I'm interested in this title by this publisher. Here's why. Talk us into it. Maybe you can get other people to buy it.
Yeah, and like every month, I love seeing these clips come in because generally somebody points out something that I had missed and is just a cool book that otherwise I would not have noticed, and I'm able to order. And I had a couple of those happen this month again, so... as always, I appreciate the diverse tastes of our listeners that they send in, and hopefully everyone who listens to these episodes likes them as well. That's why you're listening, and you'll enjoy the clips we've got for you this month. And on page 34, we've got Ghost Number 1. This is a resurrection from Dark Horse's Comics Greatest World. That was present back in, I believe, the 90s. This is a story of an enigmatic ghost. She's a female, along with paranormal investigators, Tommy and Vaughn, who takes to the streets of Chicago in search of a crystal-powered machine that first conjured her, hoping to find clues to her mysterious past life. But the machine's original owners have deadly agenda of their own. This picks up right where Ghost Number 0 left off. And remember, Ghost Number 0 is a reprinting of material that was originally present in several issues of Dark Horse Presents. So if you're not picking up Dark Horse Presents, which is their monthly $7.99 anthology series, it's 80 pages per month of different stories that usually run from about 8 to 10 pages long, then you can get all those ghost stories. There were three of them, I believe, that are reprinted in the Number 0 issue. That still has not come out. That was solicited last month, so you can still ask your shop owner to reserve that for you. And also, check out the Ghost Number 1. I really liked this series back in the day. And the thing that has me exceptionally excited about the return is the art, which is by Phil Noto, who is one of my favorite artists working in comics today. So if you're interested, give this a try. Again, check it out at your comic shop when it's out in October. Actually, check it out, the Zero issue, in September. Or you can find the issues of Dark Horse Presents and check them out right away.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, a fan of this podcast, and a comic book I'm looking forward to this month is called BPRD 1948 Number 1 from Dark Horse, and it's on page 48 of your previews catalog. BPRD is an action-adventure horror story, and in this miniseries there are of course going to be Nazis, monsters, and vampires. all set just after World War II. The 40s series stars Professor Bootenholm, who is the gentleman who raised Hellboy. And this is the third miniseries from BPRD that's prequel to the current series. The first of this trilogy was called 1946. And of course there was 1947 and now 1948. Whereas this is the third part of a trilogy, these stories are designed to be self-contained stories. Although I recommend going back and reading the first two series, which are quite good. The writers are Mike Mignola and John Arcudi, who have been writing the main series together for a very long time, as it is up to now issue 100. The art on this comic book series is by Max Humara, who has done a one-shot recently for BPRD called The Transformation of J.H. O'Donnell, and he's done some work for Marvel, including The Amazing Spider-Man. The price of this comic is $3.50 for 32 pages and will be released on October 17th, and I look forward to getting it. Thanks, Bob and John.
Hello, this is Derek Royal, co-host of the podcast, The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month appears on page 53 of the previews catalog in the Dark Horse section, Exsanguine by Tim Seeley and Josh Emmons. According to the catalog, one's a natural-born killer, a remorseless hunter restlessly prowling the night for victims to quench an unnatural bloodlust. The other's a vampire. A bored vampire. His centuries of existence have left him world-weary and detached, until one day his thirst is reinvigorated when the deadly and intricate work of the Sanguine Killer catches his eye. This is going to be a five-issue miniseries. The first issue is going to come out in October. If you're a fan of Tim Seeley's hack slash, as I am, then you're going to like this. And from the one-page spread that Dark Horse provides on page 53, it looks really good. So check it out, Exsanguine. And now, back to the guys.
Hey guys, it's Damien here with my first pick for the month, which is on page 67 in the Dark Horse section. This is the Grendel Omnibus Volume 2. Now, this actual volume is all about Stacy, who was the adopted daughter of Hunter Rose, and her daughter, Christine Spar. So it actually collects The Devil's Tales, The Devil's Child, The Devil's Legacy, and The Devil Inside. So it's actually got 552 pages, as it says here, so it's got quite a lot there, especially for the $24.99 price point there. So I really would recommend this. It's got Matt Wagner being the writer-artist, you've got Diana Schultz being a writer in there, Tim Sale on art, Arnold Palmer on art, Jacob Panda and Bertie Meyerolt on art as well. So there's quite a few different stories there. As I've said before, Grendel is one of my favourite actual characters, and I just love how they've gone from just like the one character to breach it off throughout this whole world that, you know, you've got one evolves into the next, which evolves into the next, which evolves into a religion of sorts. So, you know, it's really well done. I really recommend picking this up. If you've never read it before, this is, you know, the first one. I'm still waiting for mine to arrive, to be honest. Hopefully it's in the shipment that's actually been sent, but you know, the first one was all about Hunter Rose with collecting all of their stories. So they're going through chronology. They're going all through in actual order of the actual timeline itself. So, which is a good way of taking it rather than just putting it through. This is when it was all released. So if you haven't checked it before, I'll check it out here. As I said, page 67, the Dark Horse section. I'll let you get back to the guys.
Next up on page 81 is Justice League number 13. This issue is the first half of a two-part story setting the scene for the upcoming Trinity War, which I'm pretty sure is one of the big next, you know, or I guess the first really big event in the New 52 universe for DC. Now, the New 52 version of Cheetah is introduced in this story and this issue, and the solicitation promises fundamental changes to the relationships within the team of the Justice League. Now, whether we get that, whether we get the shocking conclusion that'll have the world debating, you know, the merits of it or whatever, whether we get all that, I guess actually the shocking conclusion is from number 12, but, you know, whether we get that, whether we get, you know, fundamental changes in the relationship team, maybe we do, maybe we don't. Either way, if you're into the big picture aspect of the DC Universe, this is a story worth checking out. I mean, it's Geoff Johns, it's Tony Daniel, it's a two-part story, it should be pretty good. Again, it's leading up to the Trinity War.
DCBS has it at a 50% discount. Check it out.
And on page 106, we've got The Phantom Stranger, number one, written by Dan DiDio with art by Brent Anderson and Scott Hanna. This series focuses on secrets of the New 52 that you will never imagine. Well, we'll find out as we get that whether Dan DiDio's idea of what we'll never imagine are the same as our ideas of that. But we've got a story here where the Phantom Stranger strikes a bargain with Lord Trigon that will have serious repercussions in the DC universe, and from afar, Pandora watches. So you may remember Pandora as the name of that character that appeared in the background panels of all the number one issues of the DC New 52, and John and I were speculating and talking about and pointing those out when we reviewed all the New 52 issues a year ago. So I'm very interested in a book that is going to kind of be a backbone mystery seeker on the entire DC New 52 universe. I'm only getting about half of the books, but I'm interested in what's going on there. So the Pandora part is what really has me intrigued about this series. And our main guy at DC, Dan DiDio, or at least co-main guy with Geoff Johns, I'm very interested to see what he's going to be revealing about the New 52 universe. So I'm right there for Phantom Stranger number one, part of DC's The Dark.
Hey guys, it's Damien here with my next pick for the month, which is on page 108, which is Justice League Dark. And I'll also mention the actual Justice League Dark annual number one as well with this one. So it's number 13 of Justice League Dark. It is House of Mystery versus House of Secrets. So it's Cain versus Abel. And literally, they've gotten to a point that even Constantine can't talk his way out of things. So I've been enjoying this. This is probably one of the few, the ongoing new DC titles that I've been really enjoying, apart from Swamp Thing. But I don't know, it's good seeing Constantine back in the DC universe, and that's really what drew me in with this lot here. So if you haven't checked it out, this looks to be a good one. But as I was saying, you should pick up the actual annual as well, because this is the conclusion of the actual story from issue 30. God, I can't get my words right today. Okay, so you need to get the two. It's like they're putting actually a two-part story out, or two books a month. So really, number one for the annual should be number 14. So if you're reading one, or you want to try one out, get the other at the same time. Okay, then I'll let you go back to the guys.
And on page 122, we've got Legends of the Dark Knight, number one. This is written by various people because there are three different stories. This is the first time in print for the Digital First series. Original non-continuity short stories featuring Batman as written and illustrated by some of comics' finest talents. So we've got the story The Butler Did It by Damon Lindelof and Jeff Lemire. Then we've got All of the Above by Jonathan Larson and I believe J.G. Jones. And then we have The Crime Never Committed by Tom Taylor and Nicola Scott. These stories originally came out through various digital media places, and I picked up the first couple of these from Comixology. They were 99 cents a piece, but they were shorter stories. They were about 10 pages of content as opposed to a full issue. But I was very intrigued. You know, Jeff Lemire art, J.G. Jones art, Damon Lindelof writing story, and they were very good stories. So I picked up the first two, and I enjoyed them thoroughly. So this is something that you can definitely be checking out. It should be 30 pages of comics for the $3.99 price. And if you want to check them out digitally, you can still go out onto Comixology and look for Legends of the Dark Knight and pick up the stories individually, or you can just buy it in print for $3.99. from DC Comics, although there will be a special discount on this number one issue through DCBS.
This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my second pick of the month is on page 135 of the catalog in the DC section, Lot 13, issue number 1, written by Steve Niles, art and cover by Glenn Fabry. In typical DC fashion, they don't really give you that much information about this new title, except for a couple of bulleted points, and those are a terrifying new horror series from the ghoulish minds of Steve Niles and Glenn Fabry, and a family making a cross-country move makes a horrifying discovery in an old apartment complex. Can they survive the night? If you want to find out more about this new series, then do a basic Google search. And in doing so, you'll probably come across a couple of pages on Bleeding Cool that actually has some original artwork by Fabry. So check that out. If you're a fan of 30 Days of Night and Glenn Fabry's artwork in Preacher, then you're probably going to like this series. So again, check out Lot 13, issue number 1 on page 135 of the catalog. And now, back to Bob and John. This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 139 of the previews catalog. It's in the Vertigo section. Ghosts, number 1. Yes, ghosts, plural, in the Vertigo section, not ghost, singular, in Dark Horse. This is an 80-page one-shot horror anthology with art and writing by such eminent figures as Jeff Johns, Joe Kubert, Gilbert Hernandez, Paul Pope, Jeff Lemire, Neil Clyde, and a host of others. When I was growing up reading comics, I didn't so much gravitate to the superhero stuff as much as I did the horror and sci-fi stuff. And some of my favorite titles were DC titles, such as The House of Secrets, The House of Mystery, Ghost, and Weird War Tales, and others of the sort. So what I'm hoping with this 80-page one-shot that sells for $7.99 is something similar, something to remind me of those days growing up and reading wonderful ghost and horror stories. So if you're like me and those are the kind of comics that you tended to gravitate toward, then be sure to check out page 139 of the previews catalog, Ghost One Shot. Bob and John, back to you.
Hey guys, it's Damien from LordShaper.com back again with my next pick for the month, which is in the IDW section on page 173. This is Transfusion number 1 of 3, written by Steve Niles, and the art and covers is by Mention 3. Now, to be honest, that's all I know about the artist. I've never heard of them before, but apparently they're a demented artist behind Monocyte, so this is going to be interesting there. So we've got a future where there's basically, you know, run by machines of, or machines and monsters are sort of running the world. There's a handful of human survivors trying to find their way back to a normal type of life. But as it says here, but what in a normal world where both monsters and machines need blood? Who are the real bad guys? So this is going to be interesting just to see what's going to be happening there. It caught my interest there. The cover looks really interesting there as well. So yeah, monsters versus machines trying to feast on humans. Okay, it's a horror. It seems to be a horror title, especially with Steve Niles doing it. It'll most probably be a horror title. So if you're not into that sort of thing, if you didn't like 30 Days a Night or something, I'll give this one a pass. But I'm going to check this out. So it's $3.99, 32 pages. And as I said, on page 173. Okay, I'll let you go back to Bob and John.
Hey all, it's Joe with my first pick of the month on page 177 from IDW, Colony. This is a trade paperback from Bob Layton and Dick Giordano, two legends in the industry who teamed up to create a science fiction webcomic, and this collects that story. Using the colonization of Australia as the basis for their story, Bob and Dick create a wonderful tale that I personally look forward to holding in my hands. Also, this is Dick Giordano's final artistic work, and as a fan of his art, I know how much I'm going to treasure this, as well as other people who will. The price is $24.99, which I know will be discounted by DCBS, and with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the guys.
Next up on page 184 is Cyberforce number 1. Now, thanks to a successful Kickstarter campaign, this 5-issue miniseries is going to be free to readers. I think that's great. But unfortunately, those comics aren't going to be free to retailers. Retailers are going to be charged a quarter each, so 25 cents each for each copy of the first five issues in the new series, which they're then to give away free to the readers. Now, in return for that, the retailers will receive incentive variants to help kind of offset the cost of those free copies. There are two levels of the variant incentives. The first level has two free Mark Silvestri variant covers of a suggested retail price of $10 each, with 50 copies of Cyberforce No. 1, and a free variant cover by Stepan Sejic for a suggested retail price of $20 with a 100-order copy of Cyberforce No. 1. Now, at those suggested retail prices, and of course the retailers can charge whatever they want, the idea is that they've gotten $20 worth of variants for spending only about $12.50 on the free copies. Or they get $60 worth of variants for spending $25 on the free copies. So they have to pay to give away the free copies, but the idea is they get the variants and they can make their money off that to pay for the free copies. So, long story short, if you want your free copies of Cyberforce, do your retailer a favor and let them know now. Because, and particularly if you want one of those incentive variants, definitely let your retailer know now. Since the idea is those incentive copies are going to pay for the regular copies for the retailers, retailers are probably going to determine their orders based on how many of the incentive variants they think they can sell. If you're into Cyberforce, or even if you just want to check it out because it's a free comic, I mean, how can you go wrong with a free five-issue miniseries? As a reader, I don't think you can. As a retailer, I could see where they got to be careful so they don't get burned on this, since they're paying out 25 cents apiece for each of those free copies. So, let's be nice to our retailers. Let's let them know now if we're planning on getting it, if we want the regular, or if we want the incentive version, whatever, so they can plan accordingly. This is really cool, I think, of Top Cow and Image to try to do this, see how it works. Hopefully it benefits the retailers as well, and they make some money on this, and everybody's happy. So again, that's Cyberforce No. 1. Price is free. So again, let your retailers know if you want it.
This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is another horror title. This one's in the Image Comics section, Bedlam No. 1, and you'll find this on pages 186 and 187. Fillmore Press was once Matter Red, a homicidal maniac and criminal overlord who terrorized the town of Bedlam for years. Then he got better. This is what happens next, a double-sized introduction to a blood-soaked cityscape of murder, mayhem, and mystery. And of course, this is just in time for Halloween. You have the art by Nick Spencer of Morning Glories and Thief of Thieves fame, and Riley Rosmo, who's done work in Rebel Blood and Green Wake. And on page 187, you have a sample of four of the pages from the very first issue, and it looks pretty darn good. So be sure to check out Bedlam No. 1. Back to the guys.
Next up on page 188 is MacGyver, Fugitive Gauntlet No. 1. Now, I'm a fan of the MacGyver television series from way back when, and I'm really looking forward to this miniseries. Comic Book Resources ran an 8-page preview of it, and they got 4 pages of it here on page 189 in previews. But that preview in Comic Book Resources ran during Comic-Con, and, you know, I read all 8 pages, and it read like an episode of the television show. It had the voiceover voice kind of right and everything. And this shouldn't really come as a surprise when you realize that the 5-issue miniseries is co-written by Lee David Zitloff, and I probably mispronounced that name, in which case I really apologize, but he's the creator of the MacGyver television series. And he wrote like 87 or so of the 139 episodes of the television show and both of the TV movies. So, I mean, the guy wrote the majority of MacGyver, and he's co-writing this miniseries, so it's no surprise that it reads as MacGyver. Again, I'm really looking forward to it. If you like the television series, this is worth getting. I like how they've got the art such that it looks like MacGyver, but not necessarily like Richard Dean Anderson, who played him back then. It's basically got the right body type, hairstyle, yada yada, etc., to where if they were to recast today and get the series going again, I mean, and cast the same looking kind of a guy, you know, this would be as applicable to that actor as, you know, Richard Dean Anderson. I really think Image could have and should have spotlighted this more at Comic-Con, because how many of the people walking around there were fans, not necessarily of MacGyver, but of Richard Dean Anderson in something like Stargate SG-1. So this is something that could bring people into comic book stores if it's marketed well. And again, I think it's going to be true to the series. I'm really looking forward to that. DCBS has it at a 50% discount, taking the $3.50 cover price down to $1.75. So I think it's worth checking out. Again, that's MacGyver Fugitive Gauntlet number 1 of 5 on page 188.
This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on pages 194 and 195 of the previews catalog in the image section, Point of Impact, number 1. The catalog describes it this way: a gripping, provocative four-part crime series from acclaimed writer Jay Faerber and stunning new artist Corey Curonel begins with one woman's murder and branches out to follow the investigation by three people with personal connections to her: her husband, an investigative reporter, her lover, an ex-soldier, and her friend, a homicide detective. Her death will change all of their lives. If you're a fan of Faerber's near-death work, then you're sure to like this. And on page 195, you'll see a generous sampling of the art that you'll find in this comic. It's also very much like near-death, a kind of crime detective noir narrative. And I tend to be a sucker for those kind of comics, and so I'll definitely pick this one up. Also, let me say a few things about Image. Over the past several months, they've been doing some incredible stuff, coming out with great new series by wonderful artists and writers. And honestly, every time I get my previews catalog, the part that I turn to first and I'm most excited about is the Image section. And Point of Impact seems to be just another example of some of the fun stuff that they're doing right now. So be sure to check out Point of Impact issue number 1, and you'll find information on this on pages 194 and 195 of the catalog. And now, back to the guys.
And on page 198, with some pages of sample art on 199, we've got Halloween Eve, a one-shot. The story is by Brandon Montclair, and the art is by Amy Reeder, who many people may remember from the wonderful Madame Xanadu series over at DC, as well as several other DC books. And here she's striking out into a creator-owned project. This was originally offered as a Kickstarter, and I chose not to get the Kickstarter because the single issue of the comic would have been $10, because you have to pay for shipping and everything on it when you're buying a single comic directly. But now that I can get the one shot for $3.99, especially with the DCBS discount, we've got this marked for a special discount this month. I'm all over this one. So the story is this: Eve has an imagination that's more than active. It can be a downright dangerous place. Working late at the costume superstore Halloweenland, she gets lost in her own thoughts until something goes bump in the night. The rubber masks and plastic novelties are coming to life, and Eve must face ghosts, goblins, and gorillas made real. High fantasy and heartbreak in an oversized holiday one-shot. So it's a 40 pages, which usually means 30 or 32 pages of content, $3.99 cover price. With the special discount, that should bring it down to around $2. So check it out. It should be worth it. And the art looks absolutely fabulous, as I have come to expect from Amy Reeder. So this is definitely on my pull list. And it's also the kind of book that if you want to make sure your shop's going to carry it, you should really go and tell them that you're interested in it. Put it on your pull list, or at least let them know that they should order it. Again, page 198 of the previews catalog.
Once again, this is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 200 and page 201 of the catalog. It's in the Image section. Not My Bag, the trade paperback. This is by Senna Grace, the artist of The Little Depressed Boy. This is a retelling of the Hell retail story like you've never encountered it before. Here you have a young artist who takes a job at a department store in order to make ends meet. Little does he know that he may meet his end in this gothic story for fans of Persepolis, Blankets, and The Devil Wears Prada. Can the artist withstand competitive pressure, treachery, and high fashion while still keeping his soul? The book looks intriguing. I'm going to give it a try, and I appreciate the art, which you can see on page 201. In fact, regarding the art, when I first looked at this, I wondered if maybe Craig Thompson was writing something new now. But no, this is Senna Grace. I don't want to suggest that the art of Grace's is derivative, but for various reasons, it just reminds me of Craig Thompson's work. So that's why I found it rather curious that in the solicit they're mentioning Blankets as a book to compare this to. So I'm going to compare it. Not My Bag by Senna Grace, and you can find this on pages 200 and 201 of the Previews catalog. And now, John, Bob, back to you.
Hey all, it's Joe with TaxAdviceGuys.com with my next pick of the month. From Image on page 205, Saga, Volume 1 Trade Paperback. This new series from Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples is a sci-fi love story brought to you by the creators of Why the Last Man, which was a terrific story. If you enjoy Brian's writing style, you know this story will have a ton of twists and turns and will be a very fun ride. Normal price is going to be $9.99 for the first six issues, and I'm sure DCB Service will have an amazing discount, so this one's going to be very tough to pass up, I think, for anyone who likes to read trade paperbacks. With that, I'm going to hand it back over to the guys.
Next up on page 10 of the Marvel previews is Avengers number 31. This issue kicks off the final explosive arc for the longtime Avengers writer Brian Michael Bendis. Now, over the years, Bendis has really put the Avengers through the ringer, you know, left, right, and center, really a couple of times. And no doubt his final story arc will indeed be explosive. I mean, after all, this is the guy who started his run on the Avengers with Avengers Disassembled. You know, that story in which he blew up the Jack of Hearts, destroying the Avengers Mansion and killing Iron Man, among other things. I mean, that's how he started his run. So the question is, what's he going to do for his explosive finale? If you want to know how the Avengers are dealing with the fallout of Avengers vs. X-Men, and if you want to know how much of a bang Brian Michael Bendis goes out on, this is the story arc to check out. DCBS has this as a 50% discount, bringing the $3.99 cover price down to $1.99. Again, that's Avengers 31 on page 10 of the Marvel Previews. Next up on page 12 of the Marvel Previews is New Avengers number 31. And this issue also kicks off the final explosive arc for the longtime Avengers writer Brian Michael Bendis on this title. He kicked off the New Avengers run, or the original New Avengers, not the new Avengers, or even the newer New Avengers. But the original New Avengers started with a huge breakout from the Raft, the superhuman prison. Between the chaos caused by that and the Avengers disassembled, a new team of Avengers was formed at that point. Now the question is, after the Avengers vs. X-Men event, after everything going on with the Phoenix, is it time for the new Avengers to call it quits or not? This story hopefully is going to answer that question. No doubt it'll lead into whatever the replacement title may be, if there indeed is one. Maybe it'll be the newest Avengers or the fourth volume of New Avengers, or maybe something entirely different. No doubt some mutants will be sprinkled in just for good measure. So DCBS has this at a 50% discount, bringing the $3.99 cover price down to $1.99. And again, if you want to know how Brian Michael Bendis ends his run on the New Avengers, this is the place to check out.
Hey all, it's Joe with Tax Advice Guys with another pick. This one is Wolverine Max number 1 on page 67 of the Marvel catalog. I know what you're thinking, another Wolverine number 1, but hey, we haven't had one in like 17 minutes. All kidding aside, I am a huge fan of the Wolverine character, and I've thought that there could be a place for him in the Max universe if done properly. With this being written by Jason Starr, I am holding out hope that his take on Wolverine will be aimed more of the adult audience without being subject to a lot of cursing every third word, a lot of gratuitous violence, a lot of gratuitous sex. I believe that the Max universe could use a title like a Vertigo take on Wolverine, which is what I really hope that this is. The cover price is $3.99. DCBS will, of course, have it at a discount. And with that, I'm going to send this back over to the guys.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 237 of the preview catalog, and it is Elmer, a comic book by Jerry Alanguilan. The catalog describes the book this way. Elmer is a window into a world where chickens have suddenly acquired the intelligence and consciousness of humans, where they can now consider themselves a race no different than browns, blacks, or whites. Recognizing themselves to be sentient, the inexplicably evolved chickens push to attain rights for themselves as the newest members of the human race. Elmer tells the story of a family of chicken who lives and struggles to survive in a suddenly complicated and dangerous world. This comic caught my attention for a couple reasons. First, it's the second comic title in about 3 months to actually star a chicken. The other one was Choose Pollo, that had its own one-shot just this month, in fact. And then the other reason this caught my attention, it's by Slave Labor Graphics, CLG Publishing. You haven't seen as much from them anymore, and I really used to like a lot of the stuff that they would publish, especially Milk and Cheese, Dairy Products Gone Bad. You can't go wrong with them. And in fact, SLG Publishing is very much aware that they haven't been on their game the past couple of years. At the top of page 237, they have SLG Publishing. Hey, remember us? Well, I definitely remember you guys. I like some of the stuff that you did, and I'm going to try Elmer, a comic book, and you'll find the description of this and endorsements of the new title on page 237 of the August catalog. And now, back to you guys.
Hey guys, it's Damien back with my last pick for the month, and this one's on page 238 from the Antarctic Press section, which is Victorian Secret Girls of Steampunk Masquerade number 1. So I've mentioned a few of these before. These are sort of like a little bit of fun for me. I play a lot of games which are sort of steampunk induced type things like Malifaux and stuff like that. So apart from really good artwork, pin-up type artwork coming through of girls in the steampunk sort of stuff, it also gives me inspiration of, you know, what I'm painting when I'm painting figures and that. So, hey, this is something I'm interested in. Don't know how many of you are interested in, but steampunk's a new sort of thing. It's sort of an evolution of my old goth days, so I'll sort of pick up this one here. Yeah, not much more I can say with it. It's a one-shot, 32 pages, $3.99. So if you're interested, go and check it out on page 238 from Antarctic Press. Okay, but let's go back to the guys, and I'll talk to you next month.
Next up on page 244 is Space 1999 Aftershock and Awe hardcover. Now, this hardcover is a remastering of material from the 1970s and some all-new material which updates the tale for a more modern audience. Now, this is an adaptation of the series pilot episode, and I think the episode after it, but I'm not entirely sure about that. And they've got a free preview available on the Archaea website, and from what I've read, it does a fairly good job retelling the story. Now, for those unfamiliar with Space 1999, it was a British sci-fi show back in the mid-70s starring Martin Landau and Barbara Bain. Now, those two were married, and they had been on Mission Impossible over at the Desilu Studios, which later became Paramount. Anyways, across the studio lot from them, while they were filming the first three seasons of Mission Impossible, was Star Trek. So, when they were later given the opportunity to star on a sci-fi show, I think it appealed to them. Ironically, when Landau left Mission Impossible, Leonard Nimoy stepped in to replace him, not as the same character, but as the same sort of character in Mission Impossible. Anyways, you wind up with two American stars on a British sci-fi show with the hopes it would gain a wider international audience. It ran for two seasons, which, you know, back then, not too bad for a sci-fi show. Hell, even today it's not too bad for a sci-fi show. The premise of the series involved a nuclear explosion knocking the moon out of orbit and across the galaxy. The crew of Moonbase Alpha, which was on the moon and therefore went with it on its intergalactic journey, had basically a series of Star Trek-like adventures over the course of the two seasons that the show ran for. The usual, hey, as you go swinging by a planet, you know, go interact with its alien life forms and races and, you know, excitement and chaos ensues. Now, this material is also being serialized digitally, and again, based on the preview and stuff, it really feels like it captures the feel, the tone, and the style of the show. Now, be warned, this is remastering of older material, again, from the 1970s, and by current standards, it may feel a bit wordy. I don't think it's overly wordy from what I've read, But there are captions, there are thought balloons, there are a lot more dialogue, a lot more exposition and stuff than readers of newer comics might be used to. This is a 160-page hardcover with a $24.95 price tag. Now, that may seem a little high, and I'm not going to say it's low, but when you look at it on a price-per-page basis, it's really only marginally more than a standard comic. And you get the full story in a single shot. So, DCBS is going to have this at a 50% discount, bringing the cost down to around $12.48 or so, which I think is a pretty fair deal. And I'm not going to say I'm a huge, huge fan of Space 1999, but what I've liked of it, I've watched. What I've read of this, I enjoyed. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's worth checking out. Again, that's Space 1999, Aftershock and Awe, the original graphic novel hardcover. That's on page 244.
Next up on page 258, we've got The Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, number one, from Big Dog, Inc. This is the first ever ongoing series based on Baum's amazing Oz novels. A lot of times we've had mini-series, and we had a mini-series previously of The Legend of Oz, but there was such a great response to this that Big Dog has kicked this up to ongoing series status. This is written by Tom Hutchison, with some wonderful art by Allison Borges and color art by Kate Finnegan. This series, if you haven't been checking out, if you like kind of mashups of Oz, this is a great one. It's Oz and the Wild Wild West, and Dorothy's kind of a gunslinger, and she's not someone to be trifled with. It's been 6 months since the miniseries ended, and Gale had her final showdown with the Witch of the West, and there's been no sign of either Gale or the Witch since then. And now General Ginger's in control of the Emerald City, and you need to have the Tin Man, Scarecrow, and Cowardly Lion finding a way to escape the Emerald Mines to find out what happened to their friend Gale. So check this one out. I've got an interview with Tom Hutchison that'll be coming up on Friday. We talk about this book, Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, as well as his ongoing Critter series, and also Joan of Arc from the Ashes, number one, also on page 258, which is a spinoff from the Penny for Your Soul franchise that Big Dog has going. Some great books from Big Dog Comics, and there will be a lot more discussion about these on the interview with Tom on Friday.
Next up on page 258 is the Rookie Special One-Shot from Big Dog, Inc. Now, this is a spinoff from Critter, which both Bob and I have been enjoying. Now, Bob interviewed the writer, Libby Rich, and you can hear more about this title on the Preview Spotlight Interviews episode for this month, as well as a couple other things from Big Dog, Inc., such as The Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, and Joan of Arc, which Bob has already mentioned. But, you know, I've been a fan of Big Dog, Inc. for a while. I've been a fan of Critter for a while. It's just fun, superheroic stuff. And what I really like here, and one of the things that really knocked me, you know, over the edge on this, I mean, I was probably going to get it anyways, but I love it when they let the artist also do the cover art. And when you see really nice cover art, like you do here on page 258 for Rookie, that makes me think, gosh, you know, the interior is going to be equally good, and hopefully I'll be very happy with that. Now, a lot of the writing over at Big Dog, Inc. has been done by Tom Hutchison himself. This is somebody else writing, but really everything Big Dog, Inc. has come out with, I've been very pleased with, and I have no doubt that as other writers get into the mix at that publisher, that's not only going to, you know, help with how much they can produce, but also help with the general quality. Because I think, you know, having writers bouncing ideas off one another and working together and stuff in a shared universe, particularly a small, very contained one like this, where you've got essentially one ongoing series and one shot here or there or stuff, I think that benefits everybody. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Cover price on this is $3.50. DCBS has this as a 50% discount, bringing the cost down to $1.75. Now, if you're planning on getting this, please tell your local comic book shop so they know now, and they can order a copy so they'll have one for you when it's released. Like with a lot of things in the back of Previews, and increasingly with a number of things in the front half of Previews, not all shops are going to get
all these things and have enough copies for every reader. So, if you want it, let your retailer know now. You know, I always make a point of going through what Big Dog Inc. has. I think they're a publisher worth supporting. So, you know, a one-shot here. Again, $350 cover price for 28 pages of material. I'm looking forward to it, and I think you should give it a shot.
And on page 265, we've got another one of the $1 tryout issues from Boom Studios. This one's called Freelancers. It's written by Ian Brill with art by Joshua Covey. I've got Money Talks. Val and Cassie are two women trying to make it in L.A., and they just happen to grow up in a kung fu orphanage, and they now make their way in the ultra-competitive world of bounty hunting. They've watched each other's backs since they could stand, and these bonds are tested daily as they navigate a city where loyalty usually only runs as deep as someone's bank account. They take on the most dangerous jobs and watch others bask in the glory. Now, as their former mentor becomes L.A.'s most wanted fugitive, Val and Cassie must fight through L.A.'s glitziest and grimiest neighborhoods as they learn what sacrifices are necessary to make their Hollywood dreams come true. I'm a really big fan of Boom putting out these $1 first issues. They are full-sized comics. You're not just getting a couple of pages. You're getting a full number one issue. And for $1 price point, I personally can't pass these things up. You know, for a buck, I'm going to read that first issue. And if I like it, then I'm going to add it to my pull list, and I'm going to be getting that series on an ongoing basis. Whereas, you know, if it was $3.99, I might look at that and say, oh, you know, I'm interested, maybe I'm not. Depends on the property, but pretty much anything they're going to put out for a buck like this one, I'll give it a try, and I'm going to read that first issue. That gets me in the door, and that leaves it up to the team to sell me on the series. But you know what? They've got a pretty good hit ratio on these. I've way more of these I have continued on getting than ones that I've decided to pass on after reading those $1 first issues. So I think it's a strategy that's working out for them, and I hope it continues. But even said, you know, it's a dollar. Tell your shop you're interested in it. Point out to them that, you know, this exists in the back of previews so they can get a stack of these in and let the people at the shop try it out. Because, you know, if they get a bunch of people who like it, that's more people buying the ongoing series. And on page 271, we've got a very tiny solicit that does not stand out amongst all the half-page and whole-page and multi-page Boom solicit, so I wanted to bring it up. It's the Hypernaturals number 4. It's a brand new story arc, a perfect jumping on point for new readers. I've really been liking the Hypernaturals by Abnett and Lanning with art by Tom Derenick. In this issue, we got Thinkwell, Bewilder, and Clone 45, who begin to uncover just how deep Sublime's scheming run as they discover the lone survivor of the cataclysmic event that seemingly wiped out the entire previous Hypernaturals team. If you haven't been checking this one out, it's definitely worth giving a read if you like the Abnett and Lanning cosmic stuff, if you like superhero teams, if you Legion of Superheroes. This is a take that's similar to but not derivative of Legion, but it's a really great series, and I encourage you to check it out. And it's also a series that if you want it to be in your comic book shop, you need to talk to your comic book shop and get them to stock it. So again, page 271, Hypernaturals number 4.
Hello again, this is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 275 of the catalog, and it is Carol Lay's Illiterature, Volume 1, the hardcover. If you're a fan of Carol Lay's strip that appeared in Salon.com, Story Minute, then you're going to like this. Illiterature is a two-dimensional world as vast as the page of Bristol board and as timeless as a Las Vegas casino. The middle ground between literature and illiteracy, between a science and superstition, between the hollows of man's horrors and the heights of his hilarity. This is the dimension of Carol Lay's imagination, the uncanny land of illiterature. From the underground era to the Simpsons comic book to her graphic novel, The Big Skinny, Carol Lay has been writing and drawing amazing stories for years. Her Story Minute strip, which gained a devoted following while appearing on Salon.com, is collected here for the first time in this first in a series of handsome hardcover volumes. This will be put out by Boomtown, which is the indie comic imprint of Boom Comics. Another great thing about this book is that it also includes an introduction by a friend of mine, Kim Deitch, who does some incredible comics himself. So you got Kim Deitch, you got Carol Lay, you have reprints of her Story Minute strips from Salon.com. It's in a hardcover, and Previews has this as a certified cool book for the month. So how can you go wrong? I don't think you can. So be sure to check out Carol Lay's Illiterature, Volume 1. And now, back to the guys. This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 312 of the catalog in the Fantagraphics section, and it is Julio's Day by Gilbert Hernandez. Julio's Day was originally serialized in the second volume of Love and Rockets, which began in 2001. And during the second volume's run, Hernandez carried this out in a number of installments. And in fact, around 2007, I interviewed Gilbert, and I asked him what he was planning on doing with Julio's Day, if this was going to be a fully developed graphic novel that he would publish later. At the time, he told me he just didn't know exactly how to fill things out. Apparently now he's decided how to fill things out, because this is a complete graphic novel that has material that wasn't originally in the second volume of Love and Rockets, those installments. Something else about Gilbert Hernandez is, if you turn back to page 13 toward the very beginning of this month's previews catalog, you'll see that Gilbert is the featured artist, the featured creator for this month. Not only do they give a little blurb about his life, but they also give a list of some of his most prominent books, as well as asking him the kind of things that he's reading right now. And that list is rather interesting, so make sure you take a look at that. Julio's Day is about the life of a common everyday guy living in some kind of unnamed Latin American town. And we get to see him from his younger days into middle age, into old age. And so you get the overreaching scope of this man's life, kind of an everyman's life, and what goes on in the day-to-day workings of his world. So in this way, this is very reminiscent of what we found with Gilbert's work in the original Love and Rockets series, with the Palomar stories. So if you're a fan of the Palomar stories, if you're a fan of Love and Rockets, or if you're a fan of Gilbert Hernandez, you gotta check this out. It's on page 312 in the Fantagraphics section of the previews catalog, Julio's Day. Gonna be good. And now, back to the guys. Hello again. This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 321 of the previews catalog, Blab World, Volume 2, a hardcover, edited by Monty Beauchamp. If you're not familiar with Blab, then you really haven't been paying attention to some of the indie press over the past couple of decades. Blab is a comics anthology edited by Beauchamp, and it primarily focuses on comics, art pieces, and even non-comics illustration and graphic design. Some of the earliest issues were published by Kitchen Sink Press, but beginning with issue number 9 and going through issue 18, it was published about annually through Fantagraphics. A couple of years ago, Last Gasp picked up the baton with Blab with their first hardcover volume of Blab World. Now we have coming up in a few months the next volume of Blab World. And this is, again, a hardcover deluxe anthology of art, illustrations, articles, profiles, found graphics, cartoon, and sequential art collected by award-winning art director Beauchamp. In this issue, you'll find a tribute to 1950s Mad Comics artist Will Elder, a tribute of R. Crumb's Zap Comics by Steve Heller, and a lush illustrated tribute to Amazing Stories first cover artist Frank R. Paul. There are a lot of people who contribute to this volume, just as there are in every volume of Blab. So make sure you check this out. This is great stuff, great art. In fact, this is an example of where comics and, I guess what you could call, for lack of a better term, high art kind of cross. It's this very interesting mixture border area. Blab's right there. So page 321 of the previews catalog, Blab World, Volume 2. And now, back to the guys. This is Derek once again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month, yes, there's still more, is on page 332 of the previews catalog, and it is from Pantheon Books, The Hive by Charles Burns. Burns is the creator of Black Hole, and this is the second part of a new epic trilogy that's called a masterpiece by some, of graphic horror in brilliant vivid color. Now, much has happened since we last saw Doug, the Tintin-like hero from the first in the trilogy, X'd Out, which came out either last year or the year before. Now, confessing his past to an unidentified woman, Doug struggles to recall the mysterious incident that left his life shattered, an incident that may have involved his disturbed and now absent girlfriend, Sarah, and her menacing ex-boyfriend. Here, Doug warily seeks answers in a nightmarish alternate world that is a distorted mirror of our own, where he is a lowly employee that carts supplies around the hive. This book is also available in a bookplate edition, which is limited to 500 copies. I think the word in this description, or the words in this description, that stand out to me are nightmarish alternate world. If you're familiar with the work of Charles Burns, especially Black Hole, but also his work with Big Baby. He got his start with Art Spiegelman's Raw, and works like Big Baby and Black Hole, they're very strange, they're unusual. In fact, I taught Black Hole to a class that I was teaching on comics a couple of years ago. It freaked everyone out. X'd Out, the first in the trilogy, is also a little unusual, and I'm expecting the usual unusual with The Hive. So if you want to learn more about this title, go to page 332 of the previews catalog, The Hive by Charles Burns. And now, back to the guys. This is Derek once again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my last pick of the month appears on page 340 of the previews catalog, and it's Charlie's War, Volume 9, Death from Above. If you're unfamiliar with Charlie's War, it was originally a British comic strip by Pat Mills and drawn by Joe Colquhoun. It originally published in Battle Picture Weekly from January 1979 to October 1985. Basically, this is described by some as the greatest British comic strip ever created. Charlie's War tells the story of an underage British soldier named Charlie Bourne. He joins the British Army during World War I at the age of 16 and is quickly thrust into the Battle of Somme. And basically what happens is throughout the strip, we see Charlie's life in the trenches and his experiences during the First World War. Beginning in 2004, Titan Books began collecting the strips and publishing them in separate volumes. Now we're up to Volume 9. The catalog describes the latest volume this way. In this explosive new volume of never-before-collected comic strip, including for the first time reproductions of original artwork from the Colquhoun archive, things are looking up for Charlie after he meets the love of his life. But the happy occasion of their wedding is destroyed by the roar of destructive Zeppelin bombers from Berlin. Charlie's War is a great comic. It takes you into the trenches, and in that way it's very emotionally gripping, and it requires quite a bit from you. So I think it's well worth the effort of reading this, of really getting into this experience. It's by Titan Books, and you'll find it on page 340 of the previews catalog. Bob and John, thank you very much for allowing me to share my picks for the month, and I hope that some of you will share some of my views of comics in another venue, the Comics Alternative. It's a new comics podcast where my colleague Andy Kunkka and I discuss alternative and independent comics. And you can find us at comicsalternative.com. Thanks a lot. Back to you guys.
Hi there, comic book page listeners. This is Sean Neprud from the Only the Valiant podcast, and I'm here for your usual dose of Valiant recommendations. This month, I'm going to recommend the Valiant Masters Bloodshot Volume 1 hardcover book, Blood of the Machine. This is the first of a new series of hardcover books reprinting the classic Valiant books from back in the 90s, and this one features the first 8 issues of the original Bloodshot run, which were written by Kevin Van Hook with art by Don Perlin, Andrew Wendell, and Ted Halstead. The cool thing about this book is that it also features a brand new story written by Kevin Van Hook and with art by Don Perlin. And it seems that this new story is going to take place in the original continuity of the original Valiant universe. So it's an extra little bonus thrown in there for those of us that get this hardcover. In these stories, it shows the introduction of the original Bloodshot. And in my mind, it really distinguishes a lot of the things that were really interesting about the Bloodshot character in general, and kind of set him as somebody different from kind of the typical Deathstroke, Punisher, Wolverine character that he's usually kind of thought of. You may remember in the past, Valiant has published a couple hardcovers of old material. The first was Harbinger, the second was Exo Manowar, and the third was Archer and Armstrong. And those were done several years ago, they were Valiant's little dipping their toe into the publishing world. But this, I imagine, is going to be a far bigger and better production than the previous hardcovers were. It looks like they're going to be pulling out all the stops and really just creating a really nice hardcover book that collects all those original classic issues. All the rest of the Valiant books have been fantastic so far, and if you're not reading those, I highly recommend checking them out. Valiant is putting out really great quality material and really building an exciting universe of titles from which to choose from. And it looks like this hardcover book is going to be the next step in their kind of expanding what they do as a publisher. So I really highly recommend checking it out.
Hey all, it's Joe with TaxAdviceGuys.com with my last pick of the month, coming from page 469, that's right, out of the game section, the Star Wars Art Sleeve Protectors. Most of us have played a collectible card game at one point in our lives. I know I played Magic, I played Babylon 5, I played Star Trek, I played Star Wars. And these might be a little late to the party, but hey, as a Star Wars fan, I love the idea of these. There are 6 different designs in each of these packs. Each pack contains 100 sheets, and they only cost $4.99. I plan on getting a pack of each of these just for the art, because it looks absolutely beautiful, in my opinion. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the guys.
So this is looking to be a pretty big month for me, based primarily on if I decide to get that artist edition or not. That's the, I don't want to say big ticket item, that's the huge ticket item I've got.
That's the swing vote for you.
Oh yeah, that puts me either well above or a bit below kind of where I like to be. But it's, you know, artist edition on Spider-Man and stuff, that's kind of hard to pass up on. I've got a couple other things I'm on the maybe category on, but nothing that would really swing my order by, you know, the hundred-ish dollars or so that will do. But yeah, that's part of why I'm not a huge fan of big-ticket items, although I've got actually 3 books here that between them total up to, let's see, cover price to $60-ish for those 3 books. That's the Space 1999 hardcover, the How to Publish Comics updated hardcover, and the Right or Wrong Writer's Guide softcover. So, I mean, even if I didn't get those, I mean, $60 cover price is a bit of a swing, but not, again, like an artist edition.
Yeah, well, and those generally run about $120-ish.
Yeah.
We won't know how much it's going to get. DCBS file has not come out as we record this, so don't know exactly what we're going to get charged on that one, and they always tend to just have please inquire in the preview catalog as a price.
So. I would expect it to be around $118.75 if I had to guess, but I mean, we'll know when we get the order form.
And I mean, this is a great. I mean, to me, this is reproducing. It's Gil Kane, Amazing Spider-Man, and it is going to be some of the most classic Spider-Man issues. We've got 96 through 102, which includes the non-code issues of Spider-Man that, you know, we had this guy on LSD tripping out. And it was actually, the story goes that Stan was asked to do this by some government office as an anti-drug thing, and he did it. And then what he did at the Comics Code refused to approve it because it depicted the drug use. And, you know, he put the comics out anyway without the Comic Code seal on them. And, you know, that for back in the day, that was, you know, that was something. And then we've also got issues 100 through 102, which is the very famous six-armed Spider-Man, where Peter's trying to cure himself, and he takes some serum, and he becomes more spidery and grows the extra arms. And this is the introduction of Morbius, and we've got the lizard in these issues. Great stuff. And then, just for good measure, they throw in issue 121, which is the death of Gwen Stacy issue, the night Gwen Stacy died, which is, you know, this is extremely classic Spider-Man stuff, and being able to see the original art pages reproduced exactly as they are at full size, you know, that's something that I personally cannot pass up. So I'm all over this one. That's the highlight of the month for me, that particular book. But it's kind of advanced solicited too, because this one's not expected out until November, whereas most of the other stuff in the on this order form is out in October.
Yeah, but with, you know, Marvel continuing to double ship a lot of stuff, including putting a weekly event out for all 5 weeks of the month with that AVX Consequences, that kind of bounces up my Marvel total a bit. But, you know, I'm still getting most of the Marvel Universe, so that factors into, of course. I really was not finding a whole lot in the back half of previews this time around. Couple of things from, obviously, you know, Valiant, from Dynamite, from Boom, from Big Dog, Inc. But really, once you get past that, I wasn't finding a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm getting everything from Valiant. I'm really liking what they're doing. I've got 31 comics in the back half of previews, so that's out of my total of about 115 comics. So
I have 26, you know, with one as a maybe that might add into that. I want to see the first issue of one title before I commit.
I mean, but that's a decent number. We're within, you know, five of one another in the back half. I think there's, you know, decent number of differences there. But even so, I think that, you know, the you know, percentage is going to be different, you know, because you're like 30 or 26 out of, you know, what, 185-ish or so?
Still? Out of the comics, it's 197.
Okay.
I've been averaging close to, right around averaging 195 or so, a number of comics a month.
So you're about one-eighth from the back half, whereas I'm about one-quarter from the back half.
Well, I think part of it for me was, particularly on the call, when we went from Dynamite, and aside from Atomic Robo, I had nothing else until Valiant. So from the publishers, from the end of D to really after that, other than, again, Valiant and Red 5 Comics, nothing.
Yeah, whereas I'm getting almost everything that Oni puts out, which is four books, you know, this month. I'm not getting the Scott Pilgrim hardcover, but the four comics that they put out, I get. And there's a couple of other little things in there. But, you know, Valiant's kind of rounded it out. You know, we got four books from Valiant. They're going to be coming out with another one, I think, next month. They're coming out with maybe Shadow Man?
I believe so, yes.
So we'll have a little more strength on the Valiant, but I've been liking everything that they've come out with so far. Just hoping they keep on going with some good stuff.
Well, what I found for the back half is if I find a publisher where essentially my tastes and the taste whoever's greenlighting the projects are more or less in alignment, that works out really well. Valiant's falling into that right now. Red 5 has been in that category for a while. Big Dog Inc. is in that category. And it's one of those where it's not to say I get everything from those publishers, but I get the vast majority, and it's more the exception when I don't get something than anything else. Whereas a lot of other publishers, they don't have that critical mass of material that I'm interested in out of their output, that it's not like I make a point to go visit their, I go through the whole previews, but there are certain publishers I spend more time on and slow down when I go through that section. You know, certainly Boom and Dynamite, I'm going to look through everything they've got. I'm not going to get all of it, but they've had a good enough hit rate with me that it's like, okay, I'll spend some time here. Whereas while I'm getting the Hero Worship title from Avatar, that's one of the few things I've ever gotten from Avatar. So typically I'll just kind of, you know, speed through that section because the odds of it having something I like are lower.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of titles. I mean, on Aspen, for instance, I like most of their new titles, the kind of classic stuff. I've tried and they don't really click with me. It's not to say they're not good. It's just that they don't click with me. But, you know, like Fathom, Soulfire, that kind of stuff, I don't get. But, you know, Executive Assistant Assassins, Idolized, Homecoming, a lot of the new titles. And when they did Shrugged, you know, Lady Mechanica, you know, there's lots of the newer stuff that they put out that I'm a huge fan of. And I'm all over that, so I will examine the Aspen section very carefully each month to see what they're doing. And same thing with Boom. I mean, you know, I get not everything they put out, certainly, but I get a decent number of Boom books. I'm getting, you know, 5 Boom books for myself, and I'm getting 2 for my son. You know, so they're getting a good chunk of my business from the back half.
Well, and again, it's just, you know, which publishers are kind of in alignment with your tastes.
Right.
And that varies over time, both as your tastes change and as what they publish changes, or who's making the decision of what to publish changes. So, I mean, all in all, there was some interesting stuff this month. Again, it was very heavy for me for the front half of previews, but that's just kind of the way my tastes line up. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That does it for me.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.